A very good afternoon.
And the
topic this afternoon is on the three conversion stories. We have just read the passage from Acts chapter 16. The chairman read the entire passage, which is good because it gives us the connection. All right. And this morning, I was sharing with you on the work of the Holy Spirit in the work of missions. And we see that it is the Holy Spirit that directs us in our missionary endeavors, whether in this church or in future when we are involved in missions itself. All right. Now, I stopped somewhere in verses 5 and 6. But if you read on, you'll notice that Paul and his companion had a desire to continue to Bethnia. That is in verse 7. But then the Bible says that the Spirit suffer them not. In other words, the Holy Spirit did not allow them to go to that place. Now, it's interesting that sometimes we may have a plan, you know, to go somewhere, but then the Holy Spirit, may not want us to be there. Okay? And we often say this, that we may propose, but then it is God who dispose, right? So we have to realize this, that God the Holy Spirit is in control in every aspect of our life and our ministry. And then in verse 9, we are told that God had a plan for Paul and his companion, and that is to go to Macedonia. So chapter 16 verse 9 is what we commonly call it as the Macedonian call. Okay? You have a church somewhere that needed help, and then you write to a church somewhere and say, please come and help us. And we call that a Macedonian call. So we see that Paul had a Macedonian call. Paul was in a vision, okay, and or a dream, you may say. And then he saw a man of Macedonia, and a man calling out to him, come over and help us. Okay, so you see, God closed the door, did not want them to go to Bethnia, but then God directed them to Macedonia. And we know that in this particular call to Macedonia was Paul's first missionary trip into Europe. Okay, and we know that Paul was a bearer of the gospel into Europe. In other words, Paul was the apostle to the European nations. Alright? And then our scripture text, which I wanted us to read, starts from verse 11. Alright? And verses 11 to 13, I just want to cut short and say that eventually Paul and a companion came to this place called Philippi. Okay, and Philippi is the chief colony of Macedonia. In other words, it is what we call the main city, all right, in the land of Macedonia. And it is in Macedonia that Paul had some very interesting encounters. And it led to the conversion of three different persons. And you will see that they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in a very unusual circumstances. Right? And we also would have noticed that Paul took those situations to preach the gospel. Okay, and this is what I want to say this afternoon. You know, there are many times that God provided us with opportunity to share the gospel with people. Do we take those opportunity? I hope we do. Okay, because I believe that those are the opportunities that God had given to us. I remember some years back on my trip here, I was seated beside an Indian man. All right, and this Indian man had some knowledge about Christianity because he was born and grew up in Scotland. Okay, and we were on the same flight, seated next to each other, and then we started to talk, and interestingly, he spoke about religion. You know, I can't remember the context of our conversation, but we ended up talking about religion. And I said, that is what I want to discuss. Not that I want to know what he believes, but then because he started on the subject of religion, it allows me to share the gospel with him. Okay? And we have plenty of time, 14 hours on the plane, to talk about religion. Of course, we did not use all the 14 hours. Huh? Right. But what I'm saying is, the opportunity is given, and we should witness for the Lord. So when we talk about evangelism, many a time we thought evangelism, I must deliberately go out, look for someone, and then preach the gospel to that person. You know, and then in Singapore context, probably you say deliberately go to a housing estate, knock at the door. You know, I think evangelism is a day-to-day affair. And we do it when God gives us the opportunity, and we should make use of those opportunities. Now, the next thing I want you to take note is this, that the three conversions happened in the land, in the city of Philippi. Okay. In other words, this city is very open to the gospel. You know, and it's interesting that sometimes a place is prepared by the Lord to receive the gospel. Right? I do not know, but somehow there are times when places are prepared to receive the gospel. Alright? I had this recollection when I was doing my national service. I don't know whether anyone here do not know what doing national service is, but let me explain. Every male Singaporean has to fulfill a 2-year service to the nation. Okay? And whether you be in the military, in the police, or in the civil defense, you have to fulfill a 2-year service. Alright? We call it national service. So I was doing my national service, and then one night, some of my friends, I mean we were fellow trainees, came back, and they were all in fear. Came back from a break. Okay. They had a night break and then they went out for some food somewhere. And they came back in fear. Now I was asking them why. Because it says one of them climbed up a high rope. Now high rope is one of the military training that we have to perform. Okay, it's just a plain rope. Okay, and then you got to climb up with your muscles, the hand strength of your hand. And you climb up, and this person climb up to the top of it, which is over a tree branch, and he claimed that he touched a head, a skull. Okay. And he told his friends, and they were fearful. Okay, so they came back to the bunk, and then they say, "Hey, you are a preacher." Okay, I mean, I did share the gospel with some of them. I say, "Hey, you are a preacher. Come tell us. You know, can you exorcise or can you do something to take away that." Evil or whatever, I can't remember what was the word they used. Okay. And that evening I had the opportunity of about, 5 or 6 in my section around me to preach the gospel. See? So God created that opportunity. I did not seek that opportunity. So what I'm saying is, if God provides you with it, make good use of it. Share, whether with your family members, with your colleagues, you have a lot of opportunity to have lunches with your colleagues, and many things are said. I hope that when the opportunity is presented to you, share with them the word of God. Now there are many conversion stories, and they are very interesting, alright, and I just want to mention a few. Now C.H. Spurgeon wrote in one of his messages about a man, okay, and this man, he liked Christian music, he likes hints. Okay, I can understand. In those days, alright, during the time of Spurgeon, now hymns, the music of those hymns were contemporary. Okay? But then somehow this man liked church music. Okay? He would go to church just for Christian music. Right? But he did not like the messages. Now, I think it is true, even in today, right? There are people who go to church to just for the fellowship, but they are not there for the message. Okay? And so Spurgeon says that this man would put his finger into his ear when it's preaching time. Okay? And for many weeks, this man would put his finger to the ear because he did not want to listen to the messages. And this is what God did to him one day. Okay, God sent a fly, landed right on his face. He can't help it but to remove the finger, alright, to swipe the insect away. And this is what he heard. Okay, the preacher says, "He that had an ear to hear, let him hear." You know, at the right time. Okay, just this and that phrase. And because of that one phrase, the man's life was changed. He decided to listen to the messages. And he was converted. Right? A missionary shared his experience in Africa. Okay? And he said that in his congregation was a woman, a pious lady. But this lady is interesting. He would come to church for all church activities with her, not the husband, but with her dog. Okay? And in order for the dog to be in the congregation, she has to be seated somewhere behind and at the aisle so that the dog would not block the passageway. Okay, so the dog is in the aisle. But this lady had a very vicious husband. Husband who would beat her up badly. And then according to the missionary, the wife actually died because of his beating. Right. But of course, in his message, he said he doesn't understand why the Lord did not prosecute the man. Okay, but we know in Africa that men, you know, seems to have that prerogative over the wife. You can do anything to the wife and nothing is done, you know, when a man commits a criminal offense. Okay, anyway, the story goes on like that. So the wife died, the lady died. But then the man, the husband, realized something very interesting. He saw a pattern in the dog. Okay? That is, every Wednesday night for 2 hours, the dog disappeared from the house. Alright? On Sunday morning, the dog disappeared for another 2 hours. Okay? And then after that, in the evening, the dog again disappeared for another 2 hours. Now, he wanted to know, where did the dog go to? So he decided to follow the dog one day. And he realized that the dog came to church. Okay. Now, because the dog and its mistress, the lady, and they had been doing this for so long a time that the dog is accustomed, all right, to going to church at this particular time. Okay. And then the husband came to church, and then the husband wanted to know what the preacher would say. Okay. And somehow, through the many occasions of attending the services in church, the man was eventually converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm trying to tell you is that God has his different ways of saving a person. Okay. Now I want to put this emphasis. Okay, we are asked to preach the gospel. Okay, we are never told to convert a person. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Okay, because we can't convert the person. You understand? Yeah, the conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit, God's work. You know, and so when we preach the gospel itself is power. Or we say the gospel itself has power. And the gospel itself converts, saves a soul. Okay? So we have to realize this, that if we don't preach the gospel and the other person does not have the gospel, then he's not able to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Right? So we must preach the gospel. And when the seed of the gospel is planted, God works. And it's so mysterious, you know. I should say it's so wonderful rather than mysterious. It's wonderful that many of us came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody planted the gospel seed in us. Okay? So we want to do that. Alright, we now come to the three conversion stories. We have read the passage starting from verses 14. Now, we see the first story, and that is the conversion of the lady named Lydia. Okay. We are told that she is a seller of purple. In other words, she sold a dye which is purple in color. Okay, and it is used particularly for fabric clothing, cloth. Okay. And the Bible tells us that she was from the place called Thyatira. Okay, we know Thyatira because the book of Revelation tells us that John wrote to the church in Thyatira. Okay, and Thyatira is a place well known in ancient time for purple dye. Alright, and that is where she started her business. But somehow along the way, she moved to Philippi, right, to continue her business there. And we do not know why she moved to Philippi, but we can only assume that she saw the prospect of doing good business in Philippi. Okay, so she moved to Philippi. And then we are told that in verse 13, and on the Sabbath, Paul and his companion went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spoke unto the woman which resorted hither. So Paul came to Philippi, and on the Sabbath day, he was looking for a place of worship. Right? In other words, he was actually looking for a synagogue, but then there was no synagogue. Right? And we understand from the ancient practice of forming a synagogue or building a synagogue. Okay, a synagogue is a place where the Jews gather to worship, where they come together to so-called listen to the word of God. In ancient time, or in the time of the Apostle Paul, if in your city there are less than 10 Jews, they will not build a synagogue. Okay? So, apparently, Philippi was not a city where the Jews would congregate. Okay. So, looking for a place to worship, and he came down by the river, and he saw a group of women gathered together to pray. And then verse 14 tells us, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, we are told that Lydia worshipped God. But then why did Paul preach to her? Now, quite apparently, worshipping God and trusting in God are two different things. Right? Today we have many people who say, I know Jesus Christ. Right? But then, the fundamental question is this: have they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? And that is the main thing. Okay? It is not how much I know. Right? It is how deep is our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Paul took the opportunity to share the gospel with her, and the Bible tells us her heart was ready. She opened her heart to the Lord and attended unto the things which Paul spoke to her. Okay? Now there are people like that. You know, there are many actually. Their hearts are there. They wanted to know the truth. But there is no preacher. So Paul says, how can they hear if you are not sent? How can they have the gospel if you don't go and preach? See? So, God sent Paul to reach this woman named Lydia. Okay? And we see that it was Paul who saw her and then took the opportunity to preach the gospel to her. Alright. I hope God gives us many of such opportunity, you know, people whose hearts are ready. And if you do evangelism often, you will come across such people. Their hearts are ready. They just want to know the truth. They just want to know who God is. And they are waiting for you to share with them the gospel. All right. So you have this lady, Lydia, who came to know the Lord. And verse 15 tells us that she actually brought her entire household to Christ. Right. Now, this is interesting. Right. When a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he or she desires that other members of the household would know him too. And that should be in our heart, isn't it? I mean, we talk about Jesus is the Savior. He is the only way. Now, if we are that convinced, then we must tell. No wonder Paul says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So he led her entire household to the Lord. Then we come to the second conversion story. And that is found in verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now here we have this girl, and this girl is possessed with a spirit. Okay? And the spirit enabled her to foretell, to prophesy. Okay? And we are told that there are people, the Bible here calls the master, who make use of her unusual skill, in a sense. Okay, but we know that this skill, alright, actually comes from the evil spirit. Right? And these people make gain. In other words, they profit from her prophecy of fortune telling, in a sense. Now, the Bible says here that she's possessed with the spirit of divination. Now, what is that? Okay, it's very interesting. In the original language, the word divination there means a python. So she's possessed with the spirit of a python. Now, when we read it, we are puzzled, right? Why talk about a python? Why not talk about a cobra? You know? Because in Greece, there was a legend. Okay, the legend says that Apollo killed a python. Okay? And the spirit of the python entered into the life of a priestess, a woman priest, a priestess. Okay, and this priestess had this unusual power or ability, okay, to foretell the fortune of the people. So if you come to see her, you ask her about your fortune, she's able to tell you what your fortune is. Okay, so this girl is possessed with this spirit. But then originally the legend says it actually entered into a priestess. Okay. So we know that this girl, right, it was possessed by an evil spirit. And we are told that when she knew that Paul was in her city, verse 17 says, the same followed Paul and asked. Us. Remember the word us? I said this morning. It included Luke. Okay? Because the we and us section starts from Luke chapter 16. Okay? Followed us. And cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Now, we note that even the evil spirit confessed that the Spirit of God, okay, is far superior to theirs. Right? So the girl cried out and says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they are here to show us the way of salvation. Now we have to realize this, that the girl was possessed. At the same time, she spoke, and the word in verse 17 is a truth, right? Paul and Luke and the other missionaries were servants of the Most High God, and they were showing people the way of salvation. So I say verse 17, the two statements are true. But the question is, who said it? You know, some people say the woman, the girl, in her right self, that means in a moment that she's not possessed, say it. Okay? Or you may take it as she's possessed by evil spirit, but it was the evil spirit that said. Okay? And I tend to believe that it is the evil spirit in her. Because even the evil spirit must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay. And so what happened after that? We knew. Okay, the spirit came out of her, because Paul commanded the evil spirit out of her. The spirit came out, she was set free, delivered. And when the masters, okay, or the slave masters, realized that they could not or could no longer make gain from the unusual talent of this girl, they decided to go after Paul and his companions. So Paul and his companions were once again persecuted. And this time round, it was quite a severe one. Right? This morning I told you that they delivered a crippled man, healed him. Okay, and the Jews came all the way from Iconium, you know, to oppose Paul. And they wanted to take his life, actually, to kill him. But of course, God delivered Paul and his companion. Now, in this occasion, we are told that Paul and his companion, Silas, were taken to the magistrate. Okay, and later on, they were thrown into prison. So, later part of Acts 16, we have the Philippian jailer with Paul in prison. Okay, but let's continue with this girl. Alright. So she was delivered. Now, the story does not tell us exactly, okay, if she put her trust in Jesus Christ. Right? But the reading of it, I think many of us would say that it is implied, okay, in the record here, that this girl came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Because she was delivered of the evil spirit. Okay, so I take this as another conversion story. Okay, now in this story, it's slightly different from Lydia's. Okay, in Lydia's case, we see that Paul was looking for a place to worship and saw this group of women. Alright, and he took the opportunity to share with them the gospel. But in the case of this young girl, Paul was in her area. I mean, remember the city is Philippi, but the city is a pretty big one. Okay, in this area. And she cried out to Paul and his companion. So I see that sometime in our ministry, God does send such people to us, right? Yeah, God does send such people to us. They come seeking, you know, they come into the church and say, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm quite sure this church has the experience of people coming in seeking for the truth. Okay, and we have that, okay, in Singapore, where people just come and say, I want to know the truth. I want to know the gospel. Can you tell me? So we have this second conversion story. A very unusual case. Now we come to the third story. And we know who the person is. It's the Philippian jailer. Okay. So God has the stage set. What was the stage? Because of persecution, they were thrown into prison. Alright? And then we are told in verse 25 that in the middle of the night, midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sing praises unto God. Okay? Again, they did something unusual. Alright? In most cases, when we are persecuted, we're very upset. Okay? I serve God. And why did God allow me to be persecuted? But you see, when we know that this is God's leading, alright, to doing certain things, and because of what you have done, which is according to God's will, and you are persecuted, I want to say, we rejoice. Alright? Because we know that we are doing the will of God. Right? So, for parents, tell our children, you know, there was a little boy who came back to the father and said, why did these people beat me up because I am a Christian? Now, I had this experience when I was a missionary in the Philippines. This boy, very young boy, coming home from school, a group of youngsters beat him up because they knew that his father was a preacher. And the boy wanted to know why. And the best answer that the father could give to the boy is this, that when we do the will of God, sometimes we do have people who oppose us. Okay, so Paul and Silas were in prison. And how did God deliver them? Through a very unusual means, right? God created an earthquake, in a sense. We are told that there was a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison was shaken and all the doors were open. And not only that, everyone's hands were loosed. Okay. That's an amazing earthquake, huh? Okay, because if you get an earthquake, you get the roof tumbling down, collapse, you know. But here in this case, the earth shake and the chain fell off from the prisoner. Now, this is definitely the work of God. So, God's work is marvelous. Okay. And then, the keeper of the prison was afraid. Why? Well, because the Roman has this law. Okay. If you are a prison guard and a prisoner escape, okay, while you are on duty, then the consequence is you'll be put to death. Alright? So if a prisoner escape from you, then you will be sentenced to death. Alright? And so he was afraid. He cried. Okay, the Bible says that he drew out his sword and then wanted to die. Alright? You see, I mean, we can understand why. Alright? To him, it will be an honor to kill himself rather than allowing the country, you know, to put him to death. Because if he is sentenced to death by the country, it will be a disgrace. Alright? And what's the disgrace? So and so were put to death because he allowed a prisoner to escape. But then Paul cried out to him and said, "Stop it. We're all here." And then the man cried. The man said this word, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Okay, you see, that's a very good statement for the introduction of the gospel. Okay, we do not really understand his intention. He probably was talking about, you know, what can I do so that I will not be sentenced to death? Okay, but the reply to him by the Apostle Paul was a classic, right? He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Okay. That is exactly what the response to the gospel should be. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we are told that that night, this man believed in the Lord Jesus Christ together with the household, and they became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, you see, a very unusual circumstance which led to this jailer coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I just want to sum up this three story and say that my purpose of the message this afternoon is this: that God provides us with the opportunity to evangelize. Now look out for those opportunities, you know. Look out for people who are ready, they want to know. Okay, we have to avail ourselves. We must be willing to give our time. Okay, if you have a friend who call up and says, "You know, I know that you are going to church, can you tell me about Jesus Christ?" I hope we will not say, "Sorry, I don't have time." Okay. Yeah, you may not have time on that particular occasion. At least say, "I'll meet up with you later on," or something like that. Okay. Alright. Now, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. His desire is the salvation of souls. He wants to save the lost. But then the instrument of bringing people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is you and I. May we be used by God, you know, to bring some people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to emphasize again, we must be available. Right? Do not get me wrong, I'm not saying you must become a missionary. I'm saying, where you are, be available, on the lookout for people who need the gospel. May God help us. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the lessons that we can draw from these conversion stories in Acts chapter 16. I pray that you'll lay upon our hearts the burden in reaching the lost for the kingdom of God. Help us, we pray, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.